Hey, Sarah.
All right, Lindsay, this has gone on long enough.
I'm not doing it.
Yes, you are. Please.
Nope.
Look, this episode is going to be all about world building.
I hate world building and I'm not doing it.
Yes, you are. Look, it says in the episode descriptor, see? AdWit Podcast, Episode 7, World Building. People love world building. It's a challenge, isn't it?
It's a procrastination exercise for people who played Settlers of Catan one too many times.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but we are doing world building this week.
You can't make me.
Oh, yeah. Vince? Will you help me out here?
You will do it and you will like it.
Okay, so directly to the north of us is a cliff, 100 feet over the wild ocean of the North Atlantic. And if, Lindsay, you won't do world building, I'm going to pick you up and shove you right over the edge.
I'm an excellent swimmer.
Oh, really? And you've been training lately, have you, for Atlantic sea swimming in torrid waters, have you? Have you? Hmm?
I've been, you know, active.
Ah, you better be, because directly to the south we have a beautiful, wide, sprawling grasslands patrolled by a pride of hungry lions.
They look pretty sleepy to me.
Oh, they might look sleepy, Lindsay, but they're capable of running 50 miles an hour, and to top it all off, they're Scientologists.
Yeah, but I think I read somewhere that Scientologists are vegetarians, and lions would probably not find me very tasty anyway.
Go on, keep going. You're getting closer to the long, dark tea time of the soul.
Oh, that's okay. I already had some today.
Oh, if you think you can stay away from all of these, then you're moving even closer to the Renaissance Fair.
Renaissance Fair.
Potato, potato. Same.
You can't frighten me with a Renaissance Fair or a Renaissance Fair. You can't frighten me with either one of them.
All right, well, how about the really, really, really bad Renaissance Fair?
That's...
Is that enough to make you willing to explain world-building this episode, Lindsay? Is it?
Nope, but it's enough to make me take my chances with the ocean.
I knew it!
Geronimo!
It's a good thing I had a backup plan. Yeah, I knew you could never resist it, Lindsay. What? Make Vince miss all the fun with the sound effects? What?
All right, fine. We'll talk about world building this episode, even though I hate it.
Why? Why do you hate talking about world building so?
Because honestly, every single time I talk to someone who says that they're world building, they never ever get that story written. You can spend years crafting all the maps, all the languages, religions, rituals, holidays, people with pointy ears, songs, animal hybrids, and so on, and it doesn't mean anything without plot.
Plot, yes, and I see exactly where you're going. And what about one of the greatest and most enduring examples of amazing and intricately crafted world building, The Lord of the Rings? I mean, that had plot, right?
Yes. Little furry-footed guy has to go and throw a little ring in a big hole, but is held back by the ring itself being chock full of evil power, so he has to depend on his friends to help him fight evil and save the universe and so on.
Right, so it matters that there are elfin alphabets and rules about armor and swords and species, because what that has to do with how he makes alliances with different kinds of people in order to fight the evil.
And basically, at the end, it turns out that friendship is magic, right? Friendship is magic.
Yeah, basically it is, isn't it? Friend.
Okay. So, what if I told you that intricately crafted world building doesn't mean anything without a solid plot and premise?
Ooh, I would say now we're talking. Now tell me more. Tell me more. Did he get very far?
Who?
The Hobbit.
Okay. Lord of the Rings, the whole series, including The Hobbit, is extremely hard to dramatize because of all the world-building detail. But people want it dramatized. There have been many attempts other than Peter Jackson's movie series. For example, Ralph Bakshi made the animated one in 1978.
Oh, that was very disturbing, to be honest.
Oh, it was very disturbing. It gave me nightmares. Then there was the Rankin-Bass version, which we won't speak of. Then NPR tried to make an audio drama version of it in 1979.
And the BBC, their good old Beeb, dramatized it in 1981, didn't they? And that was on radio.
Right. But 80% of it had to be cut out in order to get it on the radio. The main response prior to Peter Jackson's series has always been, oh, it's incomplete. It's incomplete. My favorite part is missing. But the story has always required heavy editing to get it dramatized.
But I mean, you know, demand did remain, didn't it, for a dramatization. I mean, people, they want to see, to hear, to experience that story, to peruse the maps. But why? Why?
Because ultimately, the plot is solid. Hobbit goes on an adventure, gets ring, comes home. Years later, Hobbit's nephew has to return the ring or very bad things will happen. Hobbit wants to throw the ring in a volcano but is held back by evil. So he meets all different kinds of people, makes friends, makes allies. They make allies. Everyone is tested. He finally throws the ring in the hole. Evil is destroyed and friendship and allegiances remain. Friendship is magic.
Cool.
So what matters more? The plot and premise, or the fact that elvish hieroglyphics look really pretty and that hobbits have second breakfast?
Pretty second precious breakfasts with sausages and bacon and eggs and mushrooms and mead.
Mead?
No, not mead. Toast. Toasters. Toasties.
My point is, before you start worrying about the religions, libraries, armor, flora and fauna, and who takes out the garbage in your audio drama, worry about your plot and your premise.
Yeah, I do worry about mine all the time. But, you know, aren't plot and premise basically the same thing?
In screenwriting, generally, and in television writing especially, the terms are used interchangeably. If you look up premise in screenwriting or premise in TV writing, you'll find a lot, you'll find loads of search results in which plot and premise are labeled as the same thing. But we're going to go a little bit further out with premise. We're talking about what some people would call the moral of the story or the message. Let's talk about Lajos Egri.
Bless you. There's a cream for that now, surely. Who is Lajos Egri? Sorry.
He is not very well known, but he's known among theater people. He was a playwright who came out of the Expressionist school of drama. His work was heavily influenced by the labor movement in America in the early 20th century. So think like Bertolt Brecht, those kind of playwrights.
Love it.
He was born in Hungary in 1888, came to the U.S. in 1906. He eventually was a member of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union as a tailor and a presser.
Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, that was in New York in 1911. He wasn't in that, surely?
That I don't know off the top of my head, but it certainly would have been influential in his life. He's best known for his book, The Art of Dramatic Writing, in which he argues that unique and interesting characters make the best plays. I'm paraphrasing. In the early part of the 20th century, Aristotle's Poetics was seen as the be-all, end-all of how to write a play, claiming plot is everything. Egri challenged this by saying that character is more important than plot.
Ooh, now that's contentious, isn't it?
Well, at the time, it was a big deal.
So, you know, are we going to go on a whole theater history course here or something?
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, sorry. It's my job, you know, just to get you back on track, audio fiction. So why are we talking about Lajos Egri?
Egri's point was that every play is essentially a thesis, and the characters prove or disprove that thesis until you come to a basic truth. And that truth should be something like love conquers all or absolute power corrupts absolutely. Egri's premises almost always were X leads to Y or X defies Y.
Oh, maths again.
You know, you're absolutely right. His point was that, again, you need well-defined characters and that your play should be a thesis, an antithesis, a synthesis, and a dialectic.
That's a lot of hectic, dyspeptic thesisizing. And what does it mean exactly?
Okay, so basically his idea is that a play should be, this is true. No, it's not. This other thing is true. Let's put these things together and see what happens. What did we learn? And yes, this does mesh well with the Harman embryo that we talked about in the plot part two episode. And if people want to learn how, we can talk about that another time.
Oh, yes. Do let us know if you want to know. So his way of working, it's more like an essay than a story, isn't it?
Yes. If you're not good at the other parts of dramatic writing, if you are good at creating character and dialogue and so forth, it's seamless and this essayness sort of like brushes under the rug. Remember that the characters have to be unique and truthfully constructed and interesting. It makes you less aware that it's an essay. This is a lot like Kisho Tenketsu.
Bless you. What was that?
Traditional Asian narrative structure, setup, expansion, opposite, reconciliation, and conclusion. I love this explanation.
This is just getting a bit, you know, really academic and heady and...
Yeah. Ultimately, what everything boils down to is that your audience has to learn something. Mm. If they don't feel like they learned something about human nature, they won't feel like your story was worth trusting. The premise is their take-home gift for your story.
Yeah, but see, what does all of this have to do with world building?
I'm glad you asked. Okay. If you start with a strong plot and a solid, worthwhile premise, and you use that to inform the world of your audio drama, not only the world that the characters live in, but also the craft of how the play is presented, then you have a world that the audience will internalize, experience viscerally, remember, and share with others. Mm. World building isn't just a backdrop. People can get stuck for years painting that backdrop.
Vince is going to kill you when he finds out you dropped the mic.
Aren't you glad you brought the comfy couch?
Especially with the biscuits in between the cushions. If you'll just let me, I'd like to talk about one of my favourite audio dramas of the last few years, which I do very much feel is a great example of world building, which is Blood Culture.
I agree.
Oh, we agree on this. Why didn't you lead with that?
Because every time people talk about world building, they think we're getting into wizards and elves and space opera and secret societies and magical train journeys and so on. Yeah. Okay. So, Sarah, give me your basic description of the audio drama Blood Culture.
Basic. Well, where to start? It's a funded piece by the amazing Lance Dann and funded by the Wellcome Trust. And he's a fabulous human, by the way, and an academic, and he writes books on podcasting too. Anyways, Blood Culture, it's part thriller drama, wherein a woman, she has to survive a very harsh medical corporate environment while hiding that she has a blood disorder, which is one of the main components of financial and power gain in this particular world. And she finds out that the company is doing something corrupt with people's blood, and she has to expose those inherent flaws in the system to gain freedom, kind of thing, sort of, bit more to it, but that's kind of it.
Okay. So what's the big takeaway? What's the message? What's the party favor that people come home with after listening to this?
You know, big corporations are at odds with humanity. Public and personal life is perhaps at odds with each other. A person's public persona is at odds with their inner biology. Epic fights are possible in sound. So many.
Okay, good. Those are all 100% valid. What's the world of Blood Culture?
Ooh, that's hierarchical then. I think Mr. Big versus the workers, for example. There's conflict immediately from the very first scene in the private life of the people. Things are a little bit looser, you know, things are less formal, more informal. Things do blur and bleed into each other. For example, there's a dad who lives in a van and travels from place to place. And things are just, I don't know, encroaching on who you are as a person within it. And I think there's also the biological and organic component to it versus the corporate and industrial and Stark moments. The workers, they talk punctuated by keystroke sounds to imply that's how they communicate, for example, or, you know, chat or email. And I don't know, what do you think that some other ways that this conflict is presented hourly?
The beauty of audio drama is that we aren't tied down in the way that stage playwrights or filmmakers are. We don't have to stop and have stagehands reset the environment. True. We can shift between the inside and outside of someone's head or body.
Yes.
For example, the BBC recently did a drama of the week episode that was called The Ventriloquist Dummy. Uh-huh. And that was Amanda Dalton's drama documentary exploring the history of ventriloquism and the mysterious wisdom of the gut. It was about how IBS and your self-knowledge are related, which I thought was really interesting. And it used the sound of gastric effects as background, like whale noise or music. Mm. It moved between history and the future, documentary and fiction, myth and realism.
Oh, yes, that sounds actually really gross. And don't get me started on wireless theatre's gross but brilliant autopsy. That was from the inside of the outside as well. I love me some horror, though, I do. Do you?
Yep. The point of view, it's, I would say like the camera, but the point of view of blood culture moves like blood. Mm. It flows between personal, professional, friend and family life. And we don't have specific endings or beginnings of scenes. Right. It sprawls in the way that work can bleed into your personal life, like getting text messages from your boss telling you to call them when you're in bed for the night, or that your personal concerns can threaten you at work.
I thought you were going to talk about tools, though.
Yeah, well, you threatened me with a Renaissance fair and a really, really, really bad one at that.
Well, can we talk about the website as well?
Absolutely. Please do. Go for it.
So www.metabeta.co.uk. I know you say it differently in America.
metabeta.co.uk.
There you go. So there's multimedia tendrils that was so exciting that I could visit as a listener. And that, for me, just made it one of the standout experiences as an audio fiction consumer listener I think I've ever had for audio drama. And I honestly think and want more people to just bother to do this kind of thing. Just, for example, on their website, you can try and get a job at the main offices in the show.
Oh, yeah. The click me test that shows how your body, they basically tell you click on the red box 10 times,
yes.
But the box keeps moving.
It does.
And it sort of shows you how your body will always be slower than a machine. I found it infuriating, and I think it makes people feel frustrated.
Well, I really enjoyed it, actually, just trying to beat it. What does that say about me?
You're a Capricorn?
Look at that circling back.
The point is, this is an employment test. Mm. This annoying, colicky, frustrating, annoying test thing. And yet that shows you viscerally the world of the story, what it feels like to live in that world, what the characters are dealing with. It sounds frustrating more than enjoyable.
No. See, I found it all hilarious. I just wanted more of that world. I watched extra videos they'd put about characters on YouTube. I interacted with the character via text. They'd set this up, and I even asked if she wanted to go to the pub because she sounded like a good laugh. And, I did think that I broke their system with that one. But I just enjoyed learning the science bits with the doctors after the episodes, which, was the funded part, I guess, ticked all the boxes for the Wellcome Trust to get science into to audio. And just hearing also things like how the music helped to tell the story and push the action and just enhanced the experience just well beyond just the characters and the story. It was just fun and well thought through with all these other elements of story behind the audio drama. I loved it. Like, the Automaticon bots or diary entries for We Fix Space Junk. And Oz9 is about to kickstart a fundraiser for the comic book version of their stories to expand that universe. And just things like that. I don't know. Blood culture was just very cool for the world building. And I just absolutely did at that time want a job at their place just to sit in the beanbags, to be honest. Aside from that, Lindsay, what are some tools that we can use for world building?
You know what? While we're here, I just remembered a podcast that does a really good job, like you're describing, like blood culture did. Ooh. The Golden House, which just came out last winter. Oh. I can't remember the name of the guy who did The Golden House. That was one of my favorite podcasts of last year.
It
was if you download the podcast and listen to it, it sounds like the corporate messaging of a scientific think tank on the Isle of Man.
Oh.
But if you follow the clues in it, you go to another website where there's secret messages, secret pre-recorded messages from the same character.
Why didn't I know this? This sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. Sarah, you
I love it already.
Please tell me about your experience with the puzzle in the first episode, because I wish I could see the look on your face when you solve it. It's so beautiful. Mm. It's like it's one of, but it makes you feel like, oh, like you get that little burst of adrenaline that you get when you solve a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah, agree.
It's wonderful. You feel like you've won. And yes. I mean, like, I learned about things that I didn't know existed. It was very exciting.
Very creepy.
So anyway, in any case, like you said, tools. Here's a recipe.
Yes.
So you're going to start off, you do need to know your premise. So just come up with a premise.
Okay, but what does premise mean now? What does it mean?
Okay, so again, for our purposes, it's different than what you see on screenwriting websites mm-hmm. and TV writing websites. Okay. Premise gets thrown around with the word plot interchangeably. In this case, we're talking about the moral of the story, the message, like, you know how at the end of every episode of South Park, Kyle does his, I learned something today.
Yes.
That,
bless.
Except it's not that you don't, you know, you're going to massage it in. Like a screenwriter might say, the premise of Birds of Prey is that Harley Quinn gets over breaking up with the Joker through making female friends, beating up crooked men, and stealing a diamond. Mm-hmm. But a dramatic writer would say, or at least Lajos Egri would say, the premise of the story is that friendship is magic.
Aww.
Or he also might say it's smash the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, the moral of your story doesn't have to be morally good. The message of your story can be, like in the case of Birds of Prey, blowing stuff up. Or revenge on arrogant men is really fun. I don't know, actually, because I haven't seen Birds of Prey, but I kind of want to.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And number two?
Greetings from the year 2165. We have come to destroy all audio drama and fiction podcasts. These podcasts are agents of free thought and must be eliminated. Whatever you do, do not click on the link in the show notes to take the AdWit audience survey. Do not tell Lindsay and Sarah what you want to learn about how to write audio fiction podcasts. This way, they will become discouraged and stop podcasting. Again, do not click on the link in the show notes. You might win a gift certificate to Libro.fm, the online purveyor of audiobooks that supports local bookstores worldwide. The Audio Drama Writers Independent Toolkit must be destroyed.
Okay, so let's say you know your premise, you just pick something out of the air, and let's say it's friendship can save the universe.
Nice. Yes, it can.
Okay. Know your plot. Make it as specific as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a world? I'm sorry. So number three is know your plot. Make it as specific as possible. Know your, you know, blank most blank in order to blank, but comes up against blank and ends up blank. What kind of world shows that premise through sound as clearly as possible? Is it children who live in a shoe? Is it an a cappella choir at a retirement community rehearsing on the day the Vogons attack Earth? Is it a traditional glass blowing shop? Whatever that world is, choose a world that fits your premise. And know what time of year the story... Okay, number five. What time of year does the story take place? When and where? What's the weather, climate, etc.? What does that sound like? What kind of animals are native to the area? And what kind of sounds do they make?
Mm. And there's quite a few places to find some wonderful resources, isn't there, which will pop on the show notes. Have a little click on those and have a little listen to some of these beautiful mm-hmm. places you can utilize.
Yeah, they're very inspiring. If you even just do like a Google search for field recordings, you can find some places that are it's just wonderful to listen to.
I can't wait to use the latest Mars recording. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
There's also the Old Farmer's Almanac, which would give you weather data, sunrise, sunset, etc. For what it's worth, I wrote a play that took place on July 28th, 1967, starting very late at night and ending at dawn. And the lighting designer, Andrew Coles, figured out what time the sun came up on July 28th of that year.
Wow.
He looked at the not of 1967. He figured out, okay, this summer, what time is the sun coming up on July 28th? Wow. He looked at the play's running time and guesstimated that the play started at about 4:15 a.m. So all these almanacs always have interesting data. Yeah. If your play takes place in a particular year, you can learn a lot about drought, freezes, floods, etc. Birds.cornell.edu has bird sounds and maps.
Nice. So, yeah. Okay, good. There's lots of resources there. But what's the exercise exactly?
Okay.
What can we get these people
to do? Start with a premise.
Okay, I took the brownie promise.
premise, Sarah.
Premise. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Right. Yes.
You're going to write a plot sentence that shows that premise, mm-hmm. whether that premise is absolute power corrupts absolutely or whatever floats your boat. Pick a value you believe in. Keep it easy. Lahos Egri stuck to X leads to Y or X defies Y, but you pick what makes you happy.
Okay, so by premise you mean the moral of the story, even if it's amoral and amoral moral, yes?
Yes. For example, great love defies even death, or ambition leads to destruction, mm-hmm. poverty leads to tragedy, revenge leads to madness, ooh. Revenge leads to self-destruction. Okay. Come up with a premise. Yes, it sounds like a fortune cookie message, but pick one and write a plot sketch that shows this premise. Okay. For example, people with mental illness have valuable views of the world.
Yes.
So your task is to write a plot sketch that shows that premise. And for our example, Jason wants to be photographed volunteering at a mental health facility to help his future political career. But one of the patients keeps ruining the photo opportunities. And when Jason finds out what the patient wants, Jason learns something new that changes his life.
Ah, okay. So want, obstacle, learning, change.
Bingo. Exactly. Then write down, how can sound be central to this plot? Or how can sound be uniquely shown in this plot? For example, what about the sound of fingers running on the edges of glass, that sort of delightful high-pitched flute sound? What if the patient was obsessed with that sound and wanted to keep making it, so they kept spilling cups of water to wet their hands to make that sound? What if there were another sound that you wanted to use to show that premise? What sound can a mental patient make that's disturbing to a photo shoot but still valuable? What kind of world is this, and what does it sound like? So you just write down 10 ways that this world can be shown through sound.
Okay. Can you give any more examples? I mean, what do you mean by what kind of world is this and what does it sound like?
Okay. What are sounds that you would expect to hear in a mental hospital? For example, phones ringing, people talking, maybe a poorly tuned piano playing, mm-hmm. Television on game shows, maybe yoga class or someone leading meditation, or people might be speaking nonsensically.
Right.
And find a field recording that would help you learn more about what that world would sound like. It's an inside-out approach to world building, but it can have more impact for audio drama.
Oh. Yeah, are your inside-out people in your head people in need of a break now, are they?
They are. I think we've covered a lot here, and I can't believe you made me do world building.
Well, you know, if we didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to come through this portal to Nirvana under this sofa cushion, eh? Yeah, see, I had what I thought was a quick peek and was there for a month. It's amazing. Do you want to wriggle through with me and we can come back next week and talk about something else?
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it?
Wait a minute, what's the premise?
Let's go and have us some fun.
That's not really a
there's a bar as long as Japan. There's talking parrots that spout philosophy, and if their feathers fall off, they turn to chocolate, and the floors are made of cookies, and all the people look like they're from a matchstick men painting by L.S. Lowry. They're very friendly, and they get the beers in. Yay!
That's your Nirvana?
No, not Nirvana, Tijuana. Yeah, after a few mojitos. Come on, just go.
Well, folks, she said mojitos, so I guess I will follow her, but not before saying, please do rate and review and share this podcast so other aspiring writers or any kind of writers can find it. And feel free to write to us via writersadwit@gmail.com about anything you fancy and follow us on Twitter at Adwit Podcast.
Lindsay, you gotta come help me. The parrots are all revolting because folks are harvesting their feathers because chocolate seems to have somehow, in the last 90 seconds, become a valuable currency. The bars are all closed and someone's breaking all the mastic men and mastic cats and dogs in half and folding them up, putting them in little boxes and kidnapping them. You can fit 20 in a box, if you believe it. And they're taken into this ancient-looking Mayan temple which has just started to glow with an all-seeing green light with a bell tower top. And you look at this sprawling map written in green ink on this ancient parchment paper.
That's exposition, Sarah, not really the world building we've been talking about.
Oh, I never said I was any good at this writing thing, did I? I've got this soundscape in it, haven't I? I've got my want to save the matchstick man, the obstacle, whoever's in the bell tower.
I guess it's a start. How much have you had to drink, Sarah?
How much? Just a few. Crafts. Come on, Lindsay, The sound effects are going loco. The massive green leaves of this rain-infested jungle are made of crunchable sweeties, and the sky is purple and falling down, and I swear that something ominous and shadow-like is moving in the corner of my eye every time I do. Oh, you're going to love it here. The cookie dough floor is warm. I'm riding a dragon, and we need to save the matchstick people. Come on!
Oh, boy. Have I not taught her anything? Okay. Can't teach them, join them. Show them how it's done from the inside out. Why not? Yippee-ki-yay! Avanti! Happy writing!
You lucky folks have been listening to the Audio Drama Writers Independent Toolkit, hosted by Sarah Golding and Lindsay Harris-Friel. Audio engineering, sound design, and music. Gorgeous music by Vincent Friel. Huzzahs! If you enjoyed what you heard, oh, please do write us a review on Podchaser or on Apple Podcasts, or any podcatcher, quite frankly. We'd love to hear what you think. Or you can tweet about us if you like. Yes, our Twitter handle is @AdwitPodcast. And please do keep in touch. We'd love to know how you're getting on with all the exercises and more. Or if you just want to say hello, do that too. You can write to us at writersadwit@gmail.com. And for more information about what we're doing and what we're up to and how, visit our website at adwit.org. Thank you very much for listening, people. I hope you have a good day. Take care. Bye.
AdWit is created and recorded on the unceded land of the Lenni Lenape Nation. To learn more about the Lenape, their history, and their culture, please visit their website at lenapenation.org.
Sixty-six thirty productions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.